Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 26, 2011, episode 193, sponsored by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
I gotta tell you, Jamie, I'm feeling efficient today. Last night I got the show notes done for today's show, uploaded all the sound files. So this morning I got up, I answered some emails, which have been piling up. I got 6,000 in my inbox. And then I left. I didn't answer all 6,000, by the way. And then at 6 o'clock I took the dog out to the dog park, and we made a couple trips around the dog park, wore her out. She's now laying right beside me, completely zonked. I am just the model of efficiency today.
Wow, I am speechless right now because I've done nothing but wake up, come into the kitchen, make some coffee, and sit down right here.
Yeah, but it's 9 o'clock here, and it's like 6 o'clock where you are. So there's a difference.
I know. Well, good for you. I had an efficient day yesterday, you know, where you do the cleaning and the cooking, and you get everything done, and you do the laundry, and you get the horses ridden. So it was a good day yesterday. It only got up to 99. That's huge.
Did you wear a jacket?
I know. I mean, I needed a coat.
You needed one. 99. That's like a chilly spell.
I know. It was like freezing here. No, I'm just kidding. It was actually pleasant enough, though, to ride the horses comfortably. And I ride typically right after the show. I rush out there and try to ride before it gets too stupid hot. And then I ride around 7 p.m. again. So I was able to comfortably ride yesterday morning and then ride around 6 last night. So that's a better day.
Terrific. Yeah, you guys, what's today supposed to be like yesterday, or are you getting warmed up again?
I think it's heading back up, my friend. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. Actually, we're supposed to be in the high 80s here the rest of the week, which is almost perfect. I mean,
that's
perfect.
Nice. Okay, Jennifer, what's on today's show?
On today's Wednesday Back on Track edition, we are hitting the trail. Max Johnson is going to be here to bring us the inside scoop on riding mules into, around, and up out of the Grand Canyon. So let's see, tourists. Plus mules, plus treacherous, narrow trails equals, you'll just have to stay tuned to find out. In the dramatic reading of Black Beauty today, Jamie may or may not be adding to the carnage count, and Glenn will most definitely be nodding off because the caffeine will have worn off by that hour. And to wrap the show, Christy and Dr. Jones will cover the second half of How to Save Money on Vet Care, so get your pencil ready.
Well, guys,
perfect.
It looks like we're talking to ourselves right now. I mean, it looks like we're on the air, but we're getting several people comment that they cannot listen, and I also tried to just listen just now and cannot get it to just says buffering. So we're just going to keep going for the tape's purposes. This will become a podcast, I think, and I hope that it actually comes on board here. I'm going to answer everybody on Facebook right now. And
so is there a way that potentially you could just edit out all that other stuff I said for the podcast so I don't get in trouble? See,
you could just be darn lucky your husband doesn't listen to this show.
See, secretly, Jamie pressed a button that we don't know about that she regretted saying all that stuff as soon as she said it.
Oh, I thought it sounded very positive. I was the one making comments about birth control and the kids.
It's okay. Those are implied, I think. good times. Good times.
All right, I got a Daily Witty. If I can find the Daily Witty thingy, I'll play it. All right, everybody, my Daily Winnie today goes out to Wendy Stevens Rodriguez, who was kind enough to post on there. She had won a stall sign from EasySignsOnline.com, our one sponsor, who had given away a stall sign back in January. And she actually posted pictures of her signs up around her farm, so we appreciate her doing that. She got a couple of them, one with the name of her farm, and then one, dog on premises, do not enter, or it will kill you. No, I added the last part. But said she also had one of her horses, and she posted pictures of all of them. So we appreciate her doing that. And see, it's nice to win things here on Horses in the Morning.
I think it's. I think your signs are fantastic. I love my signs from EasySignOnline.com, too. So it's out front. And if we move, it will be moving with us. That is why when we got the sign, Chad said, do you want to put the address on it? You know, like sometimes they have the signs with the name and then the address underneath it. And I said, no, because we're not going to live here forever, and we're forever going to be flyover firm. So we had that putting on just our names, and so now it's movable.
Well, and that's good. You never want to, you know, put your sign in concrete where you can't move it. That's never a good idea.
Yeah, we
Jennifer
did that.
And I have moved like 7 times in the last 6 years, so we know all about that. I'm actually checking right now. Oh, okay, I just wanted to check on the phone and see if people could listen on their phone, and they cannot. It's not working there either. So I think Jennifer has sent in a request to support to find out about why our show is not live, but we'll keep going here in the meantime. Although that sort of shoots us doing a question of the day. You know, Jennifer, you can still post a question of the day on Facebook. That won't be a problem at all. And it looks like Rick Connolly said he's been trying in 3 different browsers and no success. So hopefully later in the show, they'll get the tech people will get it figured out. In the meantime, we're just going to keep going here. So now, Jamie, I found, first of all, I wanted to do a show highlight to episode part 2 of David Saunders' interview on the Driving Radio Show came out yesterday. So you're going to want to tune into that. And also, Wendy started talking about the 5 elements of traditional Chinese medicine, and she started with the wood. You want to listen into those to see which element you are and whether you match your horse or what kind of horse you should get to match your personality.
She started with what? Wood?
Yes, wood is one of the 5 elements.
Okay, gotcha. I don't know much about the 5 elements, so I just wasn't sure what you said.
Yeah, and wood actually should be, you would think would be kind of laid back and all of that stuff. It's just the opposite. So you're going to want to take a listen because wood is not what you would think. Something else here, Jamie, too. I saw a study that I thought was funny and reminded me of something we saw a couple weeks ago. We were at the Keeneland Car Show a couple weeks ago, saw some neat cars, and we talked about that and also got to meet the people who do the stagecoach Wells Fargo stagecoach. There you go. They go in parades and travel around the country. Well, I saw this study, and I thought this was interesting. Hong Kong scientists say they've ended the time travel debate. Doc Brown declines the comment. Even if you get your hands on a souped-up DeLorean and a flux capacitor, you can't travel back in time. We saw that DeLorean with the flux capacitor at the show. They had it there from the second
now, movie. Was this the DeLorean where they required plutonium, or is this the modified version where they just threw garbage in it?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know which one it was. But, you know, it's always amazing when you get an up-close look at these prop cars, how crappy they really look up close. They just look
so
tinted. Do
you realize that that was like 25 years ago?
I know. That's the hard part to remember is how long ago those movies came out.
I know. I was just there was something on AMC last night, and it was like the 20-year anniversary of something, and I was like, "You have got to be kidding me!" I was so there. Oh my God, I'm so old. I hate it. Oh God.
Let me tell you about this study here real quick. And by the way, I have a problem with these kind of studies. According to the researchers at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, Albert Einstein's theory that nothing can move faster than the speed of light holds up even for a single photon, the most basic unit of light. And by that, they have determined through studying these single photons, and they can't break the speed limit. They can only go as fast as the speed of light. That determines that you can't time travel. Now, how they make that stretch, I'm not quite sure. And every time they come out with one of these studies and say it's positive, this is absolutely the truth, this is the fact, you can't do this, a year later they come out and say, oh, well, we might have been wrong. So I'm sticking to the fact that you can time travel, and I want to know from you, Jamie, if you could go back in time, where would you go? What time would you go?
Gosh.
I have two while you're thinking about it. So I couldn't decide on one, so I have two. One is, you know me and the whole medieval thing and, you know, all of that. So I want to go back to the time of Arthur and Merlin, and I want to hang out with Merlin for a month. First of all, I want to see if Merlin was real. And second of all, I think in that whole time frame, Merlin was having the most fun. So I want to hang out with Merlin and check out the whole Arthur time and the Knights of the Round Table and all that stuff. So that's my one.
The problem with that, Glenn, is you would have to learn to wield a sword first, because there was no law back in those days, and they could just, like, you know, cut people open and just stab people in the streets, and there was death and carnage all around, and so you would have to make sure that, well, when you do time travel, go back with a gun. Then you'll have it.
Well, see, that's why I'm hanging out with Merlin, though. He's a magician. So if I'm his apprentice, he can just save me every time with magic.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. I did think about that because it was kind of a dangerous time, and I'm not that kind of, you know, I'm not really a warrior. So the next one is understatement for you. So the next one I think is horse related. So I want to go back to the week before, and I want to be there for a week. I want to be there for the whole week. Leading up to the match race between greatest match race of all time between Seabiscuit and War Admiral in 1938. I want to be at the track for that whole lead up into the race, and then I want front row along the rail at the finish line. I want to be standing there for that race. So that's my other one.
Wow. That's very good. That's very good. Those are two good ones. Now, I know that if we pose this question to our listeners, they're going to come up with some philosophical, really religious, some beautiful, poignant thing. Me, not so much. Here's what I want to do. I want to go back to see the dinosaurs. I got to see what color they were. Nobody ever can figure out what color the dinosaurs were, and I want to know. I want to see them. I want to ride a Stegosaurus. I want to hug a Brontosaurus. I want to be friends with all of them. Jurassic Park was like the
all
coolest
thing.
All right,
this is not what I was expecting. I got to be honest. I was not expecting
you
want to be. You want to go back in time. You have the one opportunity to go back in time. You know what's going to happen to you. You know your damn luck. You're gonna like vaporize in. You're gonna be standing there right in front of one of those meat-eating dinosaurs who's just gonna gobble you up, and you'll have 10 seconds in dinosaur land.
Okay, again, I will bring a gun. A big gun. And if I need it, I will be able to defend myself. I need to learn how to shoot first, much like you would need to learn to wield a sword. The other thing I would do, did you guys ever watch the TV show Lost?
No, we didn't, actually.
Okay. Well, there was a little, you would love that show. You would love it. But there's a part in it where things get all crazy. And you know what? If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to ruin it. So what I would like to do is I would like to go back in time and do what they did on the show. Like, decide to start writing the movie Star Wars. I'm going to write Star Wars pre-George Lucas. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to sell it. Or, you know, I'm going to write the classic movies that have made billions and billions. I'm going to write Harry Potter.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say, you should write Harry Potter. That's the one you should really write.
Yes, I'm going to write Harry Potter, and then I'm going to submit it to book companies, and I'm going to get it taken care of, and then I will be sitting on top of the world with my multi-billion dollars. and that, after visiting the dinosaurs, it will complete me. You know what? I may join on the rail at the Seabiscuit race, though.
Jennifer said you want to be Betty Rubble. I can see you in the little outfit.
I want to wear a rock necklace and have a husband and a dope.
I really wasn't expecting dinosaurs. All right.
I want to be there for the birth of Jesus, and then I want to go ahead
and...
No,
I wasn't expecting that. No, I really wasn't expecting anything philosophical in the least.
You know what I thought she was going to do?
What do you think, Jennifer?
I thought she was going to go back and save Black Beauty. That's what I thought it was going to be. I thought you were going to go back in time, and when Black Beauty chucks the drunkard on the ground, I thought you were going to swoop him up and take him away to live a happy life ever after.
She's going to marry the
drunkard. However, Black Beauty is not real. It's just a story. I know that I portray it as real life because it is that fabulous. However, it is not. What about you, Jennifer? Where would you go?
You know, I would really like to go back and see the Godolphin Arabian in the flesh. Remember reading the story of the Godolphin Arabian as a kid? And we know darn well a lot of it is fabricated because the records just weren't all that great back then. I want to see that story unfold for real and see how it really happened.
You could be the little dude who, little Arab boy who came across on the boat with him.
No, I just want to watch.
Oh.
that little Arab kid did not have health care, did not have shoes. I don't want to be him.
Yeah.
But I would love to see that story unfold in real time to see how it really happened. Yeah. I found that a fascinating story.
See, of course, she comes up with something horsey. We're just like, oh, we're going to be nerds.
Susan Nelson I'm sorry, guys, but I was just reading Facebook, and Susan Nelson just posted and said, they're having a whole conversation about why they can't hear us. And Susan Nelson just posted, maybe they reached their debt ceiling. And then Rick Connolly came back and said, Jennifer probably won't let Glenn raise the ceiling limit again. It has nothing to do with us, guys. Everything to do with Blog Talk. Although we might not have paid the bill. Maybe that was it.
Blog Talk says that we are actually doing the show. So who knows?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let me see. I'm going to check one more time, and then why don't you get ready to do Black Beauty? We'll do Black Beauty, and then I guess we can call out to get guests, can't we, Jennifer?
Well, we're about to find out, aren't we?
Yeah, it is not. I cannot get the show up still. So, Janie, you want to do Black Beauty, and then we'll have Jennifer work on getting the guest on the line.
Make me read Black Beauty to nobody. Oh, I'm devastated.
The way I love it. That's the way we like Black Beauty.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Anna, And we today are starting part 3, chapter 32, A Horse Fair. No doubt a horse fair is an amusing place to see those who have nothing to lose. At any rate, there is plenty to see. Long strings of young horses out of the country, fresh from the marshes, and droves of shaggy little Welsh ponies no higher than Mary's legs, and hundreds of cart horses of all sorts, some of them with their long tails braided up and hand-tied with scarlet cord, and a good many like myself, handsome, high-bred, but fallen into the middle class through some accident or blemish, unsoundness of wind, or some other complaint. There were some splendid animals quite in their prime and fit for anything. They were throwing out their legs and showing off their paces in high style as they were trotted out with a leading rein and a groom running by their side. But in the background, there were a number of poor things sadly broken down with hard work, with their knees knuckling over, their hind legs swinging out at every step, and there were some very dejected-looking older horses with their underlip hanging down and their ears lying back heavily as if there was no more pleasure in life. Excuse me, no more hope. There were some so thin you might see all their ribs, and some with old sores on their backs and hips. They were sad sights for a horse to look upon. Who knows not, but he may come up in the same state. There was a great deal of bargaining, of running up and beating down, and if a horse may speak his mind so far as he understands, I should say there were more lies told and more trickery at that horse fair than a clever man could give an account of. I was put with two or three other strong, useful horses, and a good many people came to look at us. The gentlemen always turned from me when they saw my broken knees, though the man who had swore was only a slip in the stall. The first thing was to pull my mouth open and then look at my eyes and then feel all the way down my legs, give me a hard feel of the skin and flesh, and then try my paces. It was wonderful what a difference there was in the way that these things were done. Some did it in a rough, offhand way, as if I was only a piece of wood, while others would take their hand gently over one's body with a pat now and then, as much to say, by your leave. Of course, I judged a good deal of the buyers by their manners to myself. There was one man I thought if he would buy me, I should be happy. He was not a gentleman, nor yet one of those loud, flashy sorts that called themselves so. He was rather a small man, but well-made and quick in his motions. I knew in a moment by the way he handled me that he was used to horses. He spoke gently, and his gray eye had a kind, cheery look in it. It may seem strange to say, but it is true all the same, that the clean, fresh smell there was about him made me take to him. No smell of old beer and tobacco, which I hated, but a fresh smell as if he had come out of a hayloft. He offered £23 for me, but that was refused, and he walked away. I looked after him, but he was gone, and a very hard-looking, loud-voiced man came. I was dreadfully afraid he would have me, but he walked off too. One or two more who came did not mean business. Then the hard-faced man came back again and offered £23. A very close bargain was being driven, but for my salesman to think he should not get all that he asked and he must come down, then just the gray-eyed man came back again. I could not help reaching out my head towards him. He stroked my face kindly. "Well, old chap, I think we should suit each other. I'll give 24 for him." "Say 25 and you shall have him." "24.10, said my friend in a very decided tone, "and not another sixpence. Yes or no?" "Done," said the salesman, "and you may depend upon it, there's a monstrous deal of quality in that horse, and if you want him for cab work, he's a bargain." The money was paid on the spot, and my new master took my halter and led me out of the fair to an inn, where he had a saddle and bridle ready. He gave me a good feed of oats and stood by while I ate it, talking to himself and talking to me. Half an hour later, we were on our way to London through pleasant lanes and country roads until we came into the great London thoroughfare, on which we traveled steadily till the twilight, and we reached the great city. The gas lamps were already lighted, and there were streets to the right and to the left and crossing each other for mile upon mile. I thought we should never come to the end of them. At last, in passing through, we came to a long cab stand when my rider called out in a cheery voice, "Good night, Governor!" "Hello," cried a voice. "Have you got a good one?" "I think so," replied my owner. "I wish you luck with him." "Thank ye, Governor," and we rode on. We turned up one of the side streets, and about halfway up, we turned onto a very narrow street with rather poor-looking houses on one side and what seemed to be coach houses and stables on the other. My owner pulled up in one of the houses and whistled. The door flew open, and a young woman, followed by a little girl and boy, ran out. There was a very lively greeting, and my rider dismounted. "Now then, Harry, my boy, open the gates, and Mother will bring us a lantern." The next minute, they were all standing round me in the stable yard. "Is he gentle, Father?" "Yes, Dolly, gentle as your own kitten. Come and pat him." At once the little hand was patting all over my shoulder without fear. How good it felt! Let me get him a bran mash while you rub him down, said the mother. Do, Polly, it's just what he wants, and I know you've got him beautiful mash ready for me. And tomorrow, chapter 33, A London Cab Horse.
Very well done, Jamie. How does it feel to be reading to no one except me?
You know, that was the whole point, was to be reading to you and Jennifer. So, you know, the audience is appropriate.
All right, we're going to be back here in a second. We just have to do one commercial, and then we're going to talk to Max is on the line. We attempted this last week, but we actually have him on, and we really wanted to talk to him about the Grand Canyon Mule Rides. And I know that you have a friend that's involved with that, so we're going to talk to him. I want to hear the crazy stories. He must get people that just come up there to the counter that he goes, this person's going to die today. And they let him go anyway. So that's what I want to find out about today. We're going to talk to him about why mules and not horses and all that stuff in just a moment. But first, Back on Track is our sponsor for the day. And Back on Track has some tremendous products. You know, we've been talking about them since we started the show. Well, they're also used by some very famous professional riders. And one of those professional riders is BZ Madden. And here's what BZ had to say about Back on Track products.
BZ Madden was a member of the 2004 Athens Gold Medal Olympic team, a double silver medalist from the World Equestrian Games from Aachen, Germany in 2006, and a two-time winner of the American Invitational. BZ is one of the top-ranked riders in the world.
I've been using the Back on Track product for 4 years now, and I use them on my horses and myself, so I can tell you firsthand that they actually work. I've used the back pad or the back brace on myself when my back is sore, and it really helps keep it from getting fatigued, and really helps even once it's sore, it can really help it feel better and get it back to normal again. So I know firsthand that it does. They do work, and on the horses we start out with the bandages, using it on horses that have maybe minor chronic inflammation in their legs, and it seems to really tighten up their legs. And we went on to use the pads for the back, and I think it really helps loosen up the horse's back. And again, probably the same thing it does for my back. It keeps it from getting too fatigued, and therefore it doesn't get a sore.
And that was BZ Madden talking about her use of the Back on Track products. You can find all of their products at backontrackproducts.com. Thank you for your continued support there, Bo, at Back on Track. All right, Jamie. We've been waiting a week for this. Take away.
Well, I would like to welcome Max to the show today because we've been talking a little bit about it, and one of my good friends is a veterinarian for the Grand Canyon Mules. And when I texted her one day, I'm like, hey, what'd you do today? She's like, I floated 23 mules' teeth. I was like, oh, you have to tell me that story. So I found out that she's been running up there and doing the vet work for the Grand Canyon Mules, and I am a former, a former rider. I completed the entire Grand Canyon all-day mule ride down at the bottom of the canyon back up. So we'd like to say hello to Max Johnson. First of all, good morning, Max.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. We're doing fantastic. So tell us, first of all, what do you do for the, am I saying, is it the Grand Canyon Mule Rides? Is that what it's called?
Yes, ma'am. It's the rides here on the South Rim for Zanterra Corporation, and I'm the manager of the Mule Livery Barn.
The manager of the Mule Livery Barn. So you should be able to tell us maybe a little bit of the history of, because I think it's got a lot of history with the Grand Canyon itself tied into the mules. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, the mules are the Grand Canyon. People come to, when they come to visit here, there's two things most of them see. They walk over and look at that big hole in the ground, and then they come to the mule. The mules are the history here. They've been here for over 100 years. And I pray to God they'll be here for another 100 years.
So I know you guys have been there. I had no idea it was 100 years. That's absolutely fantastic. So in 100 years, there's got to be some pretty good stories that you have to tell. We'll get to those, but I want to ask first, you know, why mules?
Well, in my opinion, mules are more trustworthy than horses. They're into self-preservation. When you get a good mule, he is not going to do anything to hurt himself. Horses, they can tend to be a bit more skittish. We can afford horses, and if they were better, we'd use them, but they're not. Mules can take to the altitude better. You know, they're in and out every day. We're at 7,000-foot elevation up here on top. By the time they get to Phantom Ranch in about 4.5 hours, it's down to 2,000 foot, you know, and it's a great drop in altitude, and then coming up is the same way. Mules do this, they can do it every day. I don't know that horses would stand up. Mules are more sturdy for this type of job.
I agree, and it's funny because it doesn't matter what job you're doing. If you ask a question of a mule person, you know they're a mule person because they will immediately tell you why they're better than horses. My next-door neighbor is a mule person, and I get it all the time.
Yeah.
So, Meg, paint a picture for us of what a ride would be like for somebody coming, a tourist coming to the Grand Canyon. What is it like? What are they going to do? What are they going to see?
Well, if they're going to take the Phantom Ranch ride, they'll go to the rim. They'll meet us at the Round Corral at 7 o'clock in the morning. Be scared to death, of course, when they look off the edge because a lot of folks are scared of heights. I mean, common sense tells you it's steep. You don't want to go there. And then, of course, they're full of questions about the mules. Have you ever lost one? Have we, you know, all the different questions. And the answer is we've never lost a guest. We always find them. No, I'm just kidding.
That's pretty
now,
good.
That's good.
And a little more on that subject there. I don't know how to run a computer very good, but I've been told you can get on there and Google anything. So I want anybody here listening today or get on there and Google it, and you will see there has never, ever been a fatal accident off the back of a mule in the Grand Canyon. Now, that's pretty good odds over years.
100 years.
A lot of people with broken backs and quadriplegics, or is it? I noticed how you said fatal accident.
No fatal accident. Nobody's ever died riding a mule in the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
That's pretty good odds right there.
That's pretty good if you've been doing it for 100 years. That's pretty good.
I myself have been mules.
You know, I got to ask you, though. There's got to be those people that come up to the counter, you go, oh, I'm really worried about this one.
Oh, yeah, every day. But,
I assume you do not want them drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. That probably eliminates you from the mule ride, doesn't it?
Oh, that will adios you the quickest. Yes, sir, it will. Yeah.
Have you had that at 7 o'clock in the morning?
No, sir. I don't believe we've ever had any trouble with people drinking. Going down, they probably wished they had after they got going, but no, they. But I suppose.
Now, Jamie, you were at the edge there. You looked down. You're a horse person. Did you think the same thing that this is stupid? Why am I doing this?
No, you know what?
A horse person. There, most people are that way.
You're asking the horse person. Go ahead, Mags. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was talking to me.
No, actually, I was asking Jamie because I know she's done that, and I wanted her, you know, and she is a horse person. Did you have that feeling as a horse person that you were going, this is nuts, why am I doing this?
You know what, it's funny, when I went to the corral at 7 o'clock in the morning and they started assigning you mules, they gave me, and I mean, granted, I'm like, you know, almost 5'3", but they gave me the tiniest little, I felt like I was riding a mini mule. This thing was so tiny, I'm like, there is no way this sucker's going to carry me down and back. And I can't say that I was scared looking over and starting down, but there's a place that they call me, and I don't know if they still call it this, I did this ride 10 years ago, I think they called it John Wayne Bend. Do you know what I'm talking about, Max?
Yes, ma'am, I do. It's still there.
I know it's still there. I'm sure that I didn't know if they called it the same thing. So John Wayne Bend is where apparently – tell a story of what that is, Max.
Well, it's a switchback. It's at the top of what we call the devil's corkscrew, and that kind of is self-explanatory right there. It's a exact, you're going to the left, you switch back underneath yourself back to the right. You could reach up and touch the mule's foot above you as you go back.
Ah!
Yeah, it'll make you, that's for sure.
And that, Mike, that, Glenn, was the moment that I said to myself, why am I doing this? But is it, Max, is it true that it's because that's where John Wayne lost his hat?
Yeah, that's the story, I believe. I have heard that story. I don't know if that's true, but I haven't asked John. I haven't seen him since, you know, many years. But
now, well, I've got to ask you, Max, are there, and I have not taken this ride yet, are there guides on each one of, in other words, is the first person the guide, or are they on their own? The mules just know the way.
No, there's a guide that goes down. When we go to Phantom Ranch, there's a guide in the front and a guide in the back for each group, and we can take up to 10 people to Phantom Ranch each day.
And the Phantom Ranch one, now, is that an overnight one, or is that just down and back up?
No, that Phantom Ranch is the, it's an overnight. You go down and stay all night. You're down there 12:30, quarter to 1, you know, and then you get off and monkey around down there at the ranch, stay all night. And the folks that haven't been to Phantom Ranch, they've told me that is there buildings down there, you know, is there, what do you sleep in, tents, what do you sleep? And I said, no, it's darn sure there's cabins, there's a lodge. Dinner and breakfast is served family style. It's got electricity. You've got a payphone down there. Air conditioning, swamp coolers, whatever there is. You can even hook your laptop up down there if you need to. So it's and it's on the north side of the river. We go down the Bright Angel Trail and go through the tunnel. And once you come out of the tunnel, you're on the swinging bridge. It's 440 foot long, 5 foot high, and it's on cables. And you go right on across to Phantom Ranch and spend the night and come out the next day up the South Kaibab Trail.
There's internet at the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
Well, you know, you can get it if you got if you stand in the right place with one arm up and the leg bent. I believe you could get it.
With a piece of tinfoil on your toe.
That'd work.
Funny.
Now, I got to ask you, Jamie, and I want Max to this too. Did you find it scarier going down or back up?
Well, it's...
Go ahead, Max, first. What do people find it?
Well, it's six of one and a half does the other with the guest. Well, it's hard to say.
Jamie, what about you?
You know what? I think that I was super excited going down. And it was nerve-wracking because what Max is avoiding telling you is you are on some tiny trail, and there is a sheer drop-off to your left, and to your right is a sheer wall, so really not much room for error. But these mules are so sure-footed and tough, and they know their job so well that it wasn't that scary. What was really kind of bothered me was by the time I got down to the bottom, I was so dang tired and sore. The prospect of getting on and going back up was exhausting. So I can't say which one I liked more, but I am glad I did it. I'm glad I did the whole experience of the whole thing. But
well, and,
Max,
and
I
now,
got it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you told us on that note, and this will be interesting for Max to comment on too, you told us last week that the people who seem to be more tired when they get done with this are horse people. Because they're not relaxed, they're always trying to ride the mule as opposed to just sitting there. Is you know, you told us that last week, didn't you, Jamie? That the people
yeah.
on the trip, yeah.
We did the day ride, and by the time I got off, I was riding 7-8 horses a day in my life at that point. And I got off, and I was so tired. And I see these people who've never sat on an animal in their life get off, and they're like, okay, where are we going to go now? And I was exhausted and in pain. And I said to my guide, I'm like, how come they're so spry and I'm exhausted? And he said, because you rode like you knew what was going to happen. Now, of course, he wouldn't tell me what could happen after the ride. But I'm curious to know, Max, have you seen that? Is that the case normally?
Yeah, the horse people, it's like you just said, you know, they're trying to, they've set up there and ride because they know the possibilities of what the animal can do. And to be downright honest, they don't really trust a mule because a lot of times this is the first time they've been on one and they're thinking stubborn and all that kind of stuff when the mules really aren't stubborn. They just, they know their job, and the folks that really have no experience riding at all, yeah, they're sore, but they take in the whole thing to where the horse people are trying to figure out what the mule's going to do next, and you might as well give it up because you ain't going to figure it out.
Now,
and, you know, I think what's happening is the horse people are actually sitting there thinking that they're still relating it to riding their wacko thoroughbred. And they know what their wacko thoroughbred would do around Devil's Turn or Devil's Bend or whatever that was. He'd be over the edge. So I can see why horse people would have a little trouble with that.
Yeah, that's the answer right there, sir.
Now, I got to ask, Max, do you select these mules, hand train them? How does the mule selection process work? Because you're taking on a big risk by throwing some, you know, beginners up on a mule and having them ride down switchbacks.
Yes, we buy our mules, and we try to buy them what we call dude broke. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Even though we buy them ready for the tourist, the guides themselves and the packers and the rest of us will ride these mules all the time on top. We'll go down to get them legged up and to where they get to breathe, and it'll take them a mile and a half house and back up, wait a couple days, go back down to 2 mile, blah, blah, and just to build up their stamina and to see how the mules are. Now, there are some mules that are scared to death of heights, and you find that out pretty quick, but we never put the guests on them until we're satisfied that mule, all he does is get in line and puts his head down and follows the guy in front of him. And we can't take a chance of getting a tourist hurt, so we ride him for many. I mean, we might ride him for 2 or 3 years if need be.
Wow.
And if they're really ornery or something like that, we might send them and they'll pack. We'll use them for pack mules, which we pack all the supplies to Phantom Ranch, all the food and beverages and all that kind of stuff goes to Phantom Ranch. And the mules might be doing that for a while if they're going to act up and be a little ornery.
You know, the ones that are scared to death of heights, they do a check. The first test they do is they walk them up to the edge, and if they turn around and bolt a phoenix, they know that one ain't so good.
That's a good idea, but we usually get on them and ride them down, and they bolt the phoenix from there. So.
So do they pack all the supplies down, too, to Phantom Ranch?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we've got... three guys are hired full time that are do nothing but pack all the supplies down. Yep, all the bed linens, and if it fits on the mule and goes through the tunnel, we take it down on mules. If it does not, if it's something bigger that has to be done down there at Phantom, then they'll have to sling it down with a helicopter.
Now, do you, I assume that the people you hire, what kind of people do you look for? This is we always talk about the jobs. So we have teenagers always coming up and saying, what kind of jobs can you get in the horse world? This is one that we have never recommended yet. What do you look for in the guide?
Well, we look for somebody with livestock experience is a plus. They can learn that. We hope that they have some of it by the time they get here. And then somebody that's worked with people, not necessarily office jobs, but somebody that's good with people, can BS people and can learn. We do not just hire somebody over the phone. If somebody's interested, they send in their resume, and human resources will check out their resumes. They say, give me the okay. And then I'll ask, tell the person, we're not going to hire you. You have to come in here and take a student ride, which they will have to go to Phantom Ranch. And they will have to come out. They don't have to pay for it on the student ride. We take care of that. But we want to make sure they can take the height and the depth and the trail and the heat and all that kind of stuff. And then if they come out, then we'll talk from there if it's a good possibility they can work here. Some people can't do it. We've had people come out for a student ride that they're scared to death. They couldn't do it. So... That's why we don't hire over the phone. They have to come out, and I want to look them in the eye. I want to talk to them.
And he wants to see if they're throwing up when they're looking over the side. That's the other thing.
Well, yeah. that's a cue that they probably aren't going
to
work out.
If they turn and bolt to Phoenix, not hiring them. They're going to be out there with that mule someplace in the desert.
No, they ain't gonna, they can run, but they better leave my mules here.
I think it's funny to say if they come out. Have you ever had anybody not come out that was applying for a job?
No, if they went as far as to send in their resume, and I explained to them that it is steep, it's hot, it's cold in the winter, of course, here at 7,000 foot. It's trails can be ice for a mile and a half to 2 miles down in the wintertime. Now, that'll slow down a lot of folks from coming out to do a student ride.
Well, I got to say, I saw pictures of the horses with snow on the ground. So you still do, or the mules, rather, you still do this trip in the winter?
Year-round, 365 days a year.
Do you put Boreum? Do they have shoes? First of all, do they have shoes on all four, and do you put Boreum on then in the winter? What do you do?
Well, Boreum, you know, it's like wearing a tennis shoe, as far as I'm concerned. In the summertime, they have regular shoes. In the wintertime, their shoes are treated with tungsten carbide chips, which is big around as your little finger, and the shoer, he'll put that on there with the forge, has to be melted on. They can walk across concrete, asphalt, snow, ice. They'll cut grooves in the asphalt walking on it to help with the slipping problems.
Good Lord. Now, see, Glenn, Boreum sounds old school compared to tungsten carbide chips. My God, that's awesome. I had no idea, but see, I bet the tourism slows down because my father came to visit me at Christmas. And he wanted to drive up to the Grand Canyon, but the road was closed because of all the snow. So do you have to shut down sometimes, or do people come from other parts?
We will shut down in the winter, maybe one day or two, only if it's unsafe, like if we'll get a snow. In the canyon, when it snows, it might be raining at Phantom Ranch, but it's snowing here at 7,000 foot. And as it snows down off the rim a ways, of course, that wind blows up. You walk to the edge, it'll blow your hat off. You know what I mean? The snow comes up, and it drifts the trails. So we might have to cancel the ride that day, but we still have to go down and scoop that trail out for maybe 100 yards, maybe a mile, maybe a mile and a half. We have to scoop it out because we'll always have people coming out of Phantom from the ride the day before.
No,
I didn't think about
there.
The people getting stuck down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to scoop, and of course we scoop the Bright Angel Trail and the South Kaibab also, because they come up the South Kaibab Trail from Phantom. You go down the Bright Angel, come up South Kaibab.
Okay, so we're unfortunately running out of time. Where can people find, because there's more rides than just one. There's a ton of them, and you guys put it on your bucket list. Make sure that you go. Glenn, you've got to be tough enough to do this ride. I've done it. Nobody's ever died. You heard thing, I'm going to knock on wood right now after I said nobody's ever died doing the ride. But just go ahead and go do it. What is the website, Max, that people can find out a little bit more about you guys?
I believe it's Zantara.com. That's the website for the company, and I'm sure it has a list of what all, you know, you can look at or all those kind of things there. I think people will come, when they come, they'll be surprised at our mules. A lot of folks don't realize these mules are on full feed 365 days a year. They're on a shoeing schedule 6 to 8 weeks, or if they need it earlier, they get it. Our mules are on a regular rotation, which means that everybody gets so many days off a week. We've started a therapy session with an equine therapist from Tucson. Rene Noriega comes up, and he'll adjust and work with our mules. He's been here twice since February to assess our mules and to fix them. We got a veterinarian on full time 24/7, and you know her. That'd be Misa Dickinson. Our mules are athletes, and that's what we treat them like. You know, if they need something, we try to get it for them. They make our money for us. As far as I'm concerned, their little hoof print ought to be on the bottom right-hand corner of my check, because that's who we're working
with. I love it. Well, I certainly think you guys do a great job. How many mules are there total?
Right now, we only have 141, but mules are like knives and guns. A guy can never have too many of any.
Mules are like knives and guns. I love it.
That's
going to
be a quote we're going to use again.
Yeah, save that. Well, listen, Max, thank you so much for being on the show. We wish you the best of luck. And I will be up at the Grand Canyon come, I think, December, September, something like that. So I'll come and find you and say hey.
You're more than welcome to. And thank you, folks, for having us. I appreciate it. Come see our mule.
Right. All right. Thanks a lot, Max. I'm looking forward to it. All right.
Bye now.
Right.
Well, we said we wanted to go to the Grand Canyon when we came up to visit you.
You got to do the ride.
I don't know that we'll get Jennifer on. She's really scared of heights. I don't know if we're going to get her on a mule. She might take she didn't even do the helicopter. She's never going to get to the bottom of the Grand Canyon unless we maybe go all the way to the end and take a boat.
Acepromazine. Magic word. The dater.
What then? Velcro her to the saddle. Do it that way.
I told you duct tape is an exciting addition to any saddle combo.
I just heard from the tech people, and they said that we are being recorded. So that's a good thing. Otherwise, we would really be talking to nobody, and nobody would ever hear this show. But we are being recorded, so. We will have a podcast that will come out, but they cannot reset the show unless we actually stop the show and start it over. So we're just going to keep going. We're going to make this a podcast for today, and we apologize to everybody that was trying to listen. Quite a few of you, it looks like, was trying to listen live. So we'll just keep going with it.
We'll have to redo the time travel thing tomorrow because Susan Nelson ended that one on the air. She, due to a scientific study, Jennifer posted, "Where will you go when time travel becomes possible?" Susan wrote, "It's no fun to play with no show on the air."
I can't listen. I'm not playing.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I mean, maybe we should go ahead and do this health segment and end the show early so everybody can download it afterwards. So, well, why don't we go ahead and as soon as – well, you want to play the new Templeton or do you want to wait till
tomorrow?
Yeah,
we're still waiting to get the veterinarian on. So we'll be back here with thehorse.com doing their health segment, part two of how to save money on medications, while Jennifer tries to get the veterinarian on. So, Dr. Jones is on today? Okay, so Dr. Jones. But this is a song I really wanted you to hear because it's now my new favorite Templeton Thompson song. It just came out, and he wrote this, she wrote this with Sam, and they know Buck Brannaman, and they wrote this for him, really. So take a listen.
3-0.
Your love with all your heart. Always finish what you start. And if the road gets rough, I hope you stay the course. And that you always choose your battles well. When you need it, ask for help and fight like hell. But what's worth fighting for? Keep the sunshine on your face, the cold wind at your back. Hope you laugh until you cry, and cry until you laugh. Count your blessings every day, and don't forget to dream. Above all else, believe. I hope you're always doing something, something that you truly love. But don't forget to take the time to breathe. Fear can hold you back, don't let it. You can do it, don't forget it. Never quit, and above all else, believe. And keep the sunshine on your face, the cold wind at your back. I hope you laugh until you cry, and cry until you laugh. And count your blessings every day, and don't forget to dream. Above all else, believe, yeah. No matter what, you're always learning, even if you might not know it. Wisdom can come from anywhere. I hope you let go of the reins when you feel the slightest change. And don't forget to celebrate the try. If that pony bucks you off, I hope you'll always get back on and ride, 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 ride. Keep the sunshine on your face, the cold wind at your back. I hope you laugh until you cry, and cry until you laugh. Count your blessings every day, and don't forget to dream. Above all else, believe. Yeah, above all else, believe.
And that is Templeton Thompson. Yeah, everything she does is a great Glenn.
I like that one.
I love it, but nothing's going to top Girls and Horses for me.
You're just an old softy.
I love her. I really think that Templeton and I would be best friends if we ever met.
I think you would, too. And I don't think she'd let you sing with her, though.
We would so be duet rockstar partners, okay? Oh, today's show is brought to you by Back on Track. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, I know we're not live, and it sucks, and I know you're mad, and I'm sorry. There's just nothing we can do. Glenn the Geek is not geeky enough to even fix this problem. So we are going to go ahead and do part two of Top 10 Ways to Save Money on Your Horse's Medication. Brought to you by thehorse.com. And Christy and Dr. Jones are our guests today. So first of all, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just had a thought, guys. If Templeton and Jamie got together, we could have Christy and Dr. Jones in the band, too, and you'd have a whole band.
Oh, my God. That'd be awesome.
I did not inherit musical talents. You don't want that.
I don't either.
Okay, now let's ask Christy. We just talked to the guy who runs, and you would have heard this if you could actually listen live today. But you just talked to the, we just talked to the guy who runs the mule rides down the Grand Canyon. Now you've jumped out of airplanes hundreds of times, which is kind of scary in itself. And you've done the whole floaty thing, done, you know, made pancakes and breakfast on the way down and all that stuff. So now. Have you ever done the mule ride down the Grand Canyon? Would that scare you?
I have not done the mule ride down the Grand Canyon. I've done a lot of trail rides, and I've done some in the mountains, but I've never done that particular one. I did, however, get a chance to see the mules in the Grand Canyon a few years ago, and yeah, as you would guess it, it's skydiving related. We went up there to hike after the U.S. Nationals of skydiving in 2008, but we were hiking the Bright Angel Trail watching the mules go by. And, you know, of course, you have to get out of the way and let the mules go by. And I was like, oh, that looks kind of fun. That looks a lot easier than what I'm doing. Of course, the first half is so easy. You know, you start at the top, hike down, and we only went to the lookout point. We only did the day hike. But I actually posted a picture on your Facebook page of one of the guides of the mules when they were on break down there at the lookout point. They probably call it something other than the lookout point. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but about two-thirds of the way back up to the top, I was about ready to rip somebody off of one of those mules and take him so I can get on the way back up.
Oh, that's so cute!
Have you done it, Dr. Jones? Have you done that trip?
I have not done the mules, and yes, it is called Lookout Point, Christy. I've done backpacking three times, down to the bottom, overnight primitive camp there for a couple days, did some trout fishing, ate what we caught. And backpacked back up. I also did the wilderness adventure rafting down the Colorado River from the dam, Powell Lake Dam, and all the way down to just before Lake Mead. So, and that was absolutely fantastic. But the mules is on my bucket list, so I just can't seem to convince my husband to take the mules down.
Wow, that's great. That's terrific. I didn't realize you had done that much with it. Well, guys,
yeah,
it's
absolutely fabulous. You do have to step aside, like she said, for the mules. And when you're backpacking back up and you're trying to catch your breath, the items that are left behind by the mules kind of make it hard to catch your breath if you don't. stumbling along the switchback.
You mean there are no pooper scoopers? No pooper scoopers on the side of the no.
No, unfortunately, no. And I'd have to say the urine smell is more potent than the manure smell with the high ammonia smell to it. So you're trying to catch your breath and you're breathing in the high ammonia smell and the hot desert heat. It's not that much fun.
Dr. Jones, you just can't get away. You just can't get away from those smells, no matter where you go.
No. And of course, my husband caught me, you know, checking out the horses as they're going by, things like that. And I think that's the reason he doesn't want to go on it, because I'd probably complain about one being lame or needing some more food or something, and I wouldn't actually enjoy the trip.
That's funny.
Well, I thought they looked pretty well taken care of,
and I know that's not a problem there, but he just thinks that I'm going to evaluate every single horse I come upon.
All right, Christy. We're doing part two here on how to save money on your medications, right?
Yes, we are. And I thought just to start, or just list out the ones that we covered last week, just so we have a complete list in this show. The first one that we discussed last week was deworming using fecal egg counts rather than on a rigid schedule, because some low shedders need less dewormer. Don't use Adequan every month. Instead, use it as it was studied and labeled every 4 days for 28 days, unless you just want to spend a little bit more money. Don't use supplements your horse doesn't need. Don't use products that aren't proven to work. And don't use illegally compounded medications, because a lot of studies have shown that they may not have the anywhere near the target potency. So let's start with part two. Number six on our list was regarding internet sales of medications. Erin, you want to talk to us a little bit about those?
There's a lot of people want to get scripts for the internet sales, which, you know, that can work in certain circumstances. But a lot of times you'll have to pay for extra shipping, because you're going to have to add ice to your shipping so it waits on yours, or you have to add more ice to it, especially in the summertime, and you're going to get a product that arrives warm and it's not actually useful for you. The other thing, though, too, is as you think about it, veterinarians out in the field that are providing you service, and you ask them, hey, I know you've got that on the truck, but I'm not going to buy it from you. I'd like to buy it from the internet. That veterinarian now has an overhead that they have to make up for, and so other areas are going to become more costly from your veterinarians as your pharmaceutical sales go away from the veterinarian and to another source. So, you know, do keep that in mind. Not that you have to remortgage your house to make purchases, but you do need to take into effect of your veterinarian's supply system and what they have for you. It's also how many days you're going to take to get that internet product to you, and do you need to start it actually today? That may be effective on your horse, things like that. So there's a lot of things to think about when you do go to the internet sales. The budget should be in mind, but it shouldn't be the driving force.
Very good. And the next one we have is kind of related to that. Storing medications properly is a good way to help save money on them, because you don't want them to expire early. A lot of medications have to be stored within particular temperature ranges. They might need to be kept away from light, as in not left on the dash of your truck when you go run errands, things like that. Because if they don't work, they're a waste of money. Erin, you got some good
stories
on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're going to go by your veterinarian's office to pick up some medications, I'd recommend, especially in the summertime, just bring along a small cooler with an ice pack in it. Even if it's just a one, like you said, you put on your dash, it's going to get hot, and you're going to make a couple more errand stops before you get home, that medication does start to deteriorate in the heat of your truck. So even if it's a tube of butte paste, it probably wouldn't hurt to put it into a small cooler, and all you need is one little ice pack. And a lot of us veterinarians have more ice packs than we know what to do with, and you can actually probably get one from the veterinarian if you bring the cooler yourself. And put it in there while you're running your other errands. Kind of like when you go to the grocery store, for those of us who live out the country, and buy your meat and your milk, and you put it in a cooler in your trunk so that it will make it home and not spoil before you get home. Same idea. The other thing, too, is a lot of people will have storage of their medications in their pack rooms and feed rooms and their barns, and those tend to get very, very warm. You may have to find a spot in the home, of course, out of the hands of children, way up, you know, in a upper cabinet, where it's kept at room temperature, because most medications need to be kept at room temperature, not necessarily in your refrigerator. The other thing is the light source. There are products that are put in brown bottles for reasons. Those deteriorate in sunlight and other light. So if you don't have it in a brown bottle, you pulled it up in a syringe, or the vet pulled up the syringe and put it in a paper bag, please keep it in that paper bag, because it's in there for a reason. That will also help you store it. And then, of course, go by and check your medications on a regular basis, maybe every 6 months, to make sure that they are within their effective date. Because when it comes to an emergency, you got to grab something. You want to make sure that it's within its proper date.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to let everybody know, according to some of our listeners, we were back on the air about 9:50. So it looks like we're live again. Just wanted to bring that up.
Very good. Glad to hear it.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay. Let me apologize to everybody who was trying to get on, technical issues. And, you know, considering we've been doing this show for, what, a long time now, we haven't had too many. I don't think we've ever had a day where we weren't on the air where the live part wasn't working. But apparently we're supposed to be recording right now, and we'll put the whole show out as a podcast. So you can always go back later in the day. It'll be up about an hour after the show is over. You can go back to horsesinthemorning.com or on Facebook and take a listen to the first part of the show. So welcome
obviously,
back, everybody.
Obviously, you will want to, because we started part three of Black Beauty, a horse fair, and you find out that Black Beauty went to a new home, find out all about that, and I did the best interview ever of my life, so you definitely have to go back and listen to Max from the Grand Canyon.
All right, all of the highlights of the first hour of today's show, you picked Black Beauty.
Glenn, we have to edit out the first 10 minutes or so where I was venting.
Getting in trouble with your husband?
Yeah. He doesn't know about that, though, so he's kind of in the room, so zip it.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, then, in that case, Christy, you can continue.
Oh, thank you. regarding storing a medication, I just wanted to ask Erin real quick. Some medications, or is it vaccines, will actually change color when they've been stored improperly. Is that right? Not all.
True. They will, and you know, you probably don't pay attention to the color when you purchase them and then or get them, and then a few months, years later, you look at it and you think it's okay to use because you're not really sure that that's the right color. The other thing is you get some floaty particles in some of those bottles that you would be that would concern me too. So if you have anything that's floating in the bottle, I would definitely throw that bottle out because there shouldn't be anything floating in any kind of injectable bottle.
Yeah.
We don't want to inject solids into our horse's veins. Okay. Or
there's so many jokes there that I'm just going to look at.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny because when I worked at the vet clinic, somebody had purchased vaccines from, I guess, their local feed store, and they brought them in and wanted us to give them. So they bring these vaccines in, and one of them, and they're like drawn up in the syringes already. And I guess you may maybe get a discount getting them that way, but my God, you have no idea what that is. And in one of the vials, like the East West, the actual injectable vial was this floater. It looked like a piece of cork. I mean, think to? And they were just gonna give it. Like, here, give it to the horse, please. No, not going to do that. That's disgusting. So, yeah, I it sounds silly to tell people that don't inject things that don't look right, but it's so true. People need to know that.
And that kind of brings us, we'll skip one, if you don't mind, Christy, to one of our other ones about saving money, is have your vet give your vaccines. And the reason for that is, of course, you know, yes, I'm a veterinarian and I'm going to promote that because of the health of your animal, but the big thing with that is we receive vaccines properly stored, properly cooled. If they came to me and for some reason got delayed getting to me by a day and those ice bags are the least bit warm, we can turn around and send them back and refuse them and get credit back. Those feed stores can't. They don't get credit back. What they buy is what they buy. And I do have a true story of one of my previous employees that moved out of state was working at not a tractor supply, so I'm not saying anything about that company, but a similar type industry where they had farm implements and animal livestock products and things like that at their store, and they received a batch of vaccines warm, and she refused to sell them, and she refused to put them on the shelf, and the boss said, no, you're putting them on the shelf, and we will sell them, and they arrived warm. So you have to be careful how those vaccines are handled prior to you getting them, whether it's an internet company or a farm store, because they don't have any recourse if they do get them warm to return them. The other thing I find humorous is there's only a few vaccines in the horse world, but there's many in the dog and cat world where you have to pull up sterile water squirt it into the actual vaccine vial, mix it, and then draw it up, and that's your vaccine. I don't know how many people have showed me in their dog's meds that they got and said, well, I gave them this, but I don't know what this powdered stuff's for that came with it. What they just is they injected their animal with sterile water and didn't even vaccinate them or didn't even do whatever they needed to do. So there is a reason to rely on the veterinarian for giving the vaccines, just like we do for our children and going to see, you know, a nurse practitioner or a doctor to get vaccines for your child, is they have some recourse. If we get abscesses from our injection sites, the pharmaceutical companies will reimburse us and your owner's cost to take care of any complications to that. So there's a guarantee from one pharmaceutical company that they will definitely take care of it to the nth degree. And most of the other ones follow suit and do the same thing.
Excellent point. And being able to cover those complications definitely gives you a lot of peace of mind, too. All right, we're going to back up. Yes, and saving money. We're going to back up to the one that we skipped over. Train your horse to accept oral and other meds so they don't spit it out, freak out, and make you waste doses. It may seem kind of obvious, but it's something that a lot of times doesn't happen.
Yeah, nowadays everybody's doing the dewormers that are oral, and there's some horses that are a bit difficult taking it. Those dewormers don't taste that well. So suggestions we've always given clients is use applesauce in the syringe and give it to them every day or three times a week so they get used to you playing with their mouth and putting something in their mouth, and it's tasty. And when you have to do a medication, it doesn't become a knockdown, drag-out fight where you're probably not getting the majority of the meds in there.
And who hasn't
like
ended up with
the quite blocking? That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like that tip.
I've heard Carothrope for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Carothrope, yeah.
But maybe not so much. You got a horse that's got metabolic issues, so applesauce would probably be better. All right, number 10 on our list. If you're giving your own medications, know what routes are safe for each medicine. For one of the most obvious examples, don't give Banamine in the muscle. We've got an article on thehorse.com with some really nice gross Glen out pictures. It's number 6466, so that's thehorse.com/6466. What can happen when you give Banamine in the muscle? And Erin, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, and in fact, it's just been weird in the last 2 years. We've seen more and more of these cases, and they're from horse owners who've been on horses for many, many years and did not realize they're not supposed to give it in the muscle. Now, granted, when Banamine was first being used, we did give it in the muscle, but then we started seeing complications and that the clostridial infection that they can get, which can be life-threatening to these horses. So please, if you're doing that right now, stop. By all means, give it orally. It does take a bit longer for it to work, but it works as effective orally as it does in the muscle. Any other meds that you are concerned about giving your horse, you need to check with your veterinarian about which is the safest way to give it for you, who might be inexperienced with giving anything in the muscle or in the vein. A lot of them can be given oral, and there's a lot of good meds made out there for oral administration, and it makes your life a lot easier. You don't have any abscesses or anaphylactic reactions.
Absolutely, and there's locations as well that some people will tend to give instead of giving a shot if they're going for the rear end rather than lower down on the butt up over the top, and that's if they do have an abscess, it can't really drain from there, and that's another issue.
Yes, and I have heard of some people trying to get it inside of the shoulder. There's a shoulder blade there, people. Please don't do that.
All right, our next one is to give all the antibiotics that if your horse is on antibiotics, give them all as directed, but don't save some back. You can help create antibiotic resistance with that. Erin, you got some comments on that?
I think that pretty much says what it needs to say. You know, we are having problems with some diseases now with getting a proper antibiotic to take care of the disease because the bugs have become resistant. People aren't giving them all the way to the end or appropriately. Appropriate amount, and sometimes overdoing it. The horse has a little bit of snotty nose, no fever, not off feed, and they've got some antibiotics on their shelf, and they decide to go ahead and just start the horse on the antibiotics. It's probably just a passing viral or passing allergy type reaction and doesn't necessarily need the antibiotics. So save those antibiotics for, you know, the absolute extreme time, and when you do give them all the way until the end like the doctor prescribes.
And the way that works is that if you give just a little bit of the antibiotic, you're killing the more susceptible bugs. But if you don't give enough to kill all of them, then the ones that can handle a little bit of antibiotic and still survive, they get to survive and reproduce. And now they create more bugs that are slightly resistant, and they can gradually become more resistant if you keep killing off the weak ones. And that's a problem that we're trying to avoid. That's a problem that we're already dealing with. So that's what we're trying to avoid there. And then the last thing that we had on our list is actually, it's not technically medication related, but it's another way for saving money on things that you're giving your horse often. This is one of Aaron's. Don't add simple grains to a balanced grain ration.
Yes, and I hope you guys can hear me still okay. Is that true?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. This is a problem that I see constantly. I'll have clients, they've got horses they kind of show, or maybe they show heavily, and they'll buy a complete feed made by a well-known feed manufacturer, and then they'll add some oats to it. What's the point? That feed was made for the average horse to completely take care of all of their needs, electrolyte balance, mineral balance, protein balance for what you're using the horse for. Really, your roughage should be something that you should question and look to supplementing the proper roughage to my horse. Don't bother adding the oats. That's not necessary. Those are made to balance.
Jones, we're losing you. I totally understand what you mean. Just to basically make the point of what Dr. Jones is trying to tell us is that don't buy a complete feed and then add your own junk to it. It's complete. It's complete for a reason. It's like buying dog food, like really healthy, nice, good dog food, and then feeding your dog, you know, your dinner scraps. They don't need that kind of thing. So just keep
you're not
in mind,
supposed
try to be
do
safe.
That?
Yeah, Glenn. Jeez. Yeah, that would be Glenn. Yeah, you're not supposed to actually give them what you don't finish too. That's definitely not good for
I
them.
No
so same with horses. It's balanced for a reason. I'm with you, sister.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. That's the horse.com. Is there any articles you want to reference, Christy?
Yeah, I'm actually putting it up on your Facebook page right now, the one about Banamine injections. It's number 6466 at thehorse.com. So it would be thehorse.com/6466.
Okay.
And
cool.
It's got some really nice – and, Glenn, you have to make sure to check it out because there are some good pictures on there that will gross you out. I know we didn't really gross you out with the discussion, but, you know.
I know. I've been safe the last 2 weeks. It's been like heaven on Wednesdays. I just haven't had to worry about it.
Well, it's just because you're talking to us.
I think we lost Dr. Jones altogether now. So thank you, Dr. Jones, for joining us, and thank you, Christy. And we appreciate you still being here through all the technical problems.
No worries. It's always good to talk with you guys, whether it's on the phone or online. So.
All right. We'll see you.
We'll
see you on a mule heading down the Grand Canyon, Christy. You have to come along.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, bye. She'll be the first one to wear a parachute on the mule on the way down. Yeah,
because she's smart.
Hey,
I'll have my air vest on. She'll have her parachute, I'll have my air vest. You have your helmet. It'll be great.
I got a couple things here on Facebook that we need to bring up to wrap up the show, sort of our Facebook wrap. And that's Susan Nelson says, no editing of Jamie's rant. So she must have heard us talking about that. So apparently I'm not allowed to edit the first 10 minutes, like you said, because she said I'm not. So,
please take it out. Take it out. The longer that I've been able to sit here and think about what I said, the more I'm going to get myself in trouble. And if you're editing,
yeah, kind of probably should come out. So if you're listening to this show and you don't know what we're talking about, it's because I edited it out. And it's because Jamie was saying things that she probably shouldn't have said, which is a normal thing. But I think that this one could get her in more trouble. I was kind of cringing a little bit when you were saying it, actually. Well, then Colleen Britton posted and in response to our where would you go in time travel? And she said, as a historian, this is always a tough question. And I want to know, Colleen, what do historians do exactly? We were talking about that the other day. We were watching the History Channel, and they interviewed a historian. And we kind of wondered, what do you do? What's your day consist of, being a historian? On the one hand, you get to experience amazing events as they're happening. On the other hand, you have the very real possibility of picking up the plague, being accused of witchcraft, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or in Jamie's case, being eaten immediately by a Brontosaurus Rex. All that notwithstanding, I think I'd like to visit medieval France. So, you know, this whole going back to Merlin's time is not sounding so great right now. You're probably right. I would land in the middle of a battle. Arthur is attacking some neighboring kingdom, and I'd be right in the middle of it, and I'd get skewered the first 2 seconds I was there. You'll get eaten by a Brontosaurus Rex. I'll get skewered by Arthur.
First of all, there is no such dinosaur as a Brontosaurus Rex, okay? So I would not get eaten by one of those. It is a Tyrannosaurus Rex and a Brontosaurus, although you might have just discovered the biggest crossbreed ever.
But they don't know what the names of, these dinosaurs were back then. They're making, if you think about it, all dinosaurs' names are made up.
They weren't people back then to name them. The dinosaurs probably had their own names for each other, and they might have even spoken English. That's why I want to go and find out. I will know so much more. I will have a baby Brontosaurus.
What was that really bad TV show on? It was probably before your time. Jennifer might remember. Was it called The Time That Land Lost or something?
It was a Saturday morning kids show called Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost. That's right.
Yeah.
Where these people went back to dinosaur time, and it was the cheesiest made show ever.
Dude, yeah. They just remade that with Will Ferrell.
Was it cheesy?
Of course, it was awesomeness. It was awesome. You got to see Land of the Lost with Will Ferrell because they do that a remake of that TV show, and it would not be Land of the Lost because I would land somewhere peaceful like a beach, and then I would travel inwards and I would find a baby Brontosaurus and and we would be best friends and we would grow up together, and I would ride my Brontosaurus everywhere I go.
You've been reading way too much Black Beauty. Jennifer, what was the what was the PBS show that you loved that was the most cheesy show ever made on TV?
Doctor Who.
BBC. Doctor Who. The BBC show, Doctor Who. Did you ever see Doctor Who, Jamie?
No, I'm too young for that, I think.
That is they're still making it, aren't they, Jennifer? Did we just
huge.
And it is the worst show ever made. It is awful. And it has a huge following. But it is just awful. Doctor Who.
It's Star Trek times 10.
That's it for today. We had, it's been a fun day considering nobody was listening. You know, we can do these shows. We don't need listeners. What the heck?
Kind of takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean we don't want you coming back tomorrow. We really do. We love our listeners, and we really do want you stopping back tomorrow. So please do that. And we'll be back hopefully live tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We appreciate you listening to this recorded version. For those of you that are just joining the recorded version, I am very sorry to everybody who will miss the first 10 minutes of the show. We apologize for that. Maybe I'll sing and dance in place of that as I put up the recording.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds good. Hey,
you know what I'll do?
I'll dig out the
time you sang on the show.
No.
I'll dig that out.
Let's not do that. I just want to say that today is the day, by the way, the last Wednesday in July, which is Chincoteague Island. The ponies are swimming today. So if you ever read Misty at Chincoteague, that is today. So I think they're expecting like 40,000 people to watch the ponies swim in Virginia. And I guess they auction them off, I think, after they swim them. So we'll get you up to date on that more tomorrow. But just know that big historic day is today, probably taking place right now.
And I have to say, too, in tomorrow's show, we have the Love Doctor back. And she answers an interesting question that a lot of women face every day. And that is, I'm just a girl who can't say no.
I'm just a girl who can't say no.
Say
it at all. That's from Oklahoma, the show.
Yeah, Jennifer's one of Jennifer's favorite plays in the entire time that I absolutely can't stand. So that's I'm just a girl who can't say no with Dr. Oakley tomorrow, the Love Doctor. So that should be an interesting segment too. And that's about it. If you want to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network, you can find them at horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much for listening. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Have a great day. Goodbye. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye. Wear your helmets on those mules going down the Grand Canyon. Sounds dangerous.